Hi everyone, Dr. Will here, and I want to share something with you that just happened to me this weekend. And I'm always humbled when I realize the power of some of the technology I get the joy of teaching other people. And it really humbles me when I get the unique opportunity to apply it to myself and see it work in a different way. For years, I've been talking about the questions you ask yourself in the morning, as my dear friend Tony Robbins talks about. The questions you ask yourself in the morning and throughout the day focuses your brain, as he would say, as I'd say, your reticular activating system. By asking a question, your brain looks for an answer and it will find it. And so, you know, when you train your reticular activating system to find something for you, it'll find it in the real world. Lately, for some reason, I'm seeing Corvettes everywhere I look. I've told my reticular activating system this is important to me, especially a certain color in a year model or a make model, as they call it, you know, for Corvettes. But this weekend, late last week, I had the unique opportunity, because I am the luckiest man in the world, or one of the luckiest men in the world. I got to go to a seminar, a 2-day seminar sponsored by the Florida Psychological Association, so I could get my continuing education units to renew my psych license. That'll also be good for California. Most of it'll be good for California. And we have mandatory things we have to take, which is interesting. But sometimes when you go to these, you're thinking, my God, I better fire up the coffee. It's going to be like pulling teeth. And if you go in with a bad attitude, of course, your reticular activating system will find it. You know, the facility's not what you hoped, or this or that or the other thing. So I made an effort, because I teach this, two interesting things. I made a conscious effort that as I was getting up and driving up there, I drove up that morning, took about an hour and a half, I kept repeating to myself, how can I enjoy today? How can I learn things that I can apply in my life and the lives of my students and my colleagues, and that, what can I do here that's really cool? And I would ask, how can I meet some really cool people? So I kept asking myself those questions. And so when I got to the seminar, it was rather interesting. First, I had trouble finding it, but I kept asking myself, you know, how can I reframe this having trouble finding it in the fact that I'm looking for something that's hard to find, because it's like a needle in a haystack. It's like that gold nugget that you have to dig for. So as I was asking these questions, when I finally got there and I got in, of course, they had delicious buffet set up for us, or, you know, snacks and stuff, and coffee. So I'm drinking my coffee and I'm talking with people, and I had a really good time. And at the same time, I've been teaching something I'm having so much fun teaching right now, and it's a master trainer's course. And so for the first 4 weeks, all I focused on are some very basic things on how you learn, how you teach, how to do this, how to do that. And then we're going to get into specifics of how to be a master trainer. But first, you have to go back and get things in a different mindset. And it was kind of interesting. The first speaker is considered one of the world's top 10 psychologists. Excuse me for not knowing it off the top. I don't have my papers in front of me. But he's a professional speaker, obviously, now, and retired professor emeritus and all that. And so sometimes you gear up for, it's going to be a professorial talk. He was funny. He was engaging. He was everything I would teach a trainer to be. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow, this is a great opportunity. And some of the things he said was really cool, you know, that I've already been sharing out there in the world. Again, my question was, how can I use this information? He presented all the clinical research. As you know, psychology is great in clinical research. He had all the clinical research that said there is absolutely no bonus or no efficacy to using one therapeutic intervention over another, whether it's cognitive behavioral, rational emotive, whatever. You know, they're all the same in the efficacy long-term. The only thing that they found long-term that says how effective you are as a change agent or a therapist, or in their case, psychologist, is the therapeutic relationship with the client. And I'm like, fascinating, because I instantly transferred that into my mind into the hypnosis and the NLP world. I go to conferences and people are arguing, this is the only way, whether it's timeline or regression or Ericksonian, or, you know, or they make fun of, you can't read a script. But I'm sitting there going, well, now the research actually says all of those will be the same. The only thing that will say whether you're good or not is your therapeutic relationship with your client. So I'm like, fascinating. This is going to be so much fun. And so I'm sitting there doing that. And then he got to something that went, I went, pow, boy, it's there again. He talked about having a beginner's mind, why it seems like sometimes new therapists, new psychologists are more effective than people with a lot of experience. And you've heard me talk a lot lately about, I call it the paradox of knowledge. The more knowledge you get, sometimes you lose your effectiveness or you get stuck. And basically what happens, you lose your beginner's mind, as he talked about. And so I'm sitting there going, wow, I can use this. You know, this is wonderful. And I've been saying that. I actually just said that in the master trainer, that you got to have like a newbie's mind, right? And if you're training people in hypnosis, NLP, sales, marketing, whatever you're training, you have to train it with a beginner's mind, thinking what is this like? You can't assume what anybody knows. And so it was just so wonderful to hear it and have it be validated at that level. So I was having a wonderful time. And then over the course of the weekend, we had several speakers, and some were very professorial. That's a nice way to say dry. Not that their material was not hands down good. A lady did a wonderful presentation on EMDR, right, which fired me up remembering, hey, I took this back in the late 80s, early 90s. I should get back into this. But she's not a professional speaker. And a couple of people were like that. Now, some of the people, this is what they do for a living. They speak, they train, they do certain things. They were funny. They were engaging. It was a lot like being at a hypnosis or an NLP conference. Some will be very professorial. Again, not saying that the material is not good. And then some that give you good material, but they make it fun. They make it engaging. Of course, that's my style. So it was like, I was taking notes on the presenting style, you know, and that. And you know how I can use this as teaching. And again, I got some information we can use. And again, when I would ask myself these questions, when I kept asking myself the better questions, I got better responses. And I was at one seminar, and it had a whole section on psychotropics, neuropsychotropic medication and their interactions and this and that. And of course, my first thing is I defaulted to, I shouldn't be in this room. This isn't my expertise. But then I said, no, how can I use this information? And when I flipped my brain, turned that switch, this is cool. I could use this. I could use that, right? And then I had a decision to make. You know, when you look at the levels of learning, unconscious incompetence, you don't know what you don't know. When I got to this level, I got conscious incompetence. I realized how much I really don't know about the new psychotropic medications. Since I left the prison system, being the clinical director of a prison unit, I am really kept up on a lot of the new psychotropics and how they interact and pathways and half-lives and all the stuff I learned when I was at the prison. So now I'm at that level, I'm consciously incompetent. Now I can decide, do I want to get consciously competent? Do I want to take a 2 or 3 day training in, you know, psychotropics, you know, neurological psychotropics? Not really. I got enough on my plate. I think it's fascinating. There are experts in that field. I defer to them. But again, that was freeing. It's like, I don't have to know this. Here's a great resource. I got his card. He said, have any questions? Shoot me an email. You know, I'll happily answer it. Or he teaches at a couple graduate schools. He goes, I'll give it to the graduate students because they are basically, you know, slaves. And so I can get them to go do the research and I will get an answer for the people. And so it was freeing. And he was funny. He was engaging. He made it personal. He self-effaced. It was a great experience for me as a trainer. And again, it was something I needed to be at. And when I asked the right questions, I began to get different responses. So when I have that opportunity, it makes me realize that I am really one of the luckiest men on the face of the earth. Not only do I get to teach what I love, for a living. I also have a hobby that I get to do what I love. And they kind of go together in certain ways. And it's just been a blessing beyond my wildest dreams. I meet interesting, fun people. And I met some people there that I kind of seen in passing at some of these continuing education things that I have to go to, but I probably wasn't asking the right questions. I met some really charming, funny people that I'm on my list, I want to get to know, including one of the best sports psychologists in the United States. He's I knew he was here. I didn't really know who he was, but he's like, hey, let's hang out. I gave him a copy of my book. We're sitting there talking. And they're hungry for the same information we are, in a different way, but for the same information. How to be better, how to be more effective, how to impact your clients better. How, and their big thing sounds like one of ours, how can I be of service at a higher level? You know, how can I help you get what you want? That's my job. Is, I don't care if you're a hypnotist, an NLP, or a psychologist, a social worker, or an alcohol and drug counselor, our job is to serve. And to drop our idea that it has to be about me or my ego. And when I put that aside, and it was so nice to be at a conference where no one knew me. And, you know, so it was like, it was nice just to have fun and blend in. And it was a wonderful experience. So again, it goes back to, if you ask the correct questions, it begins to reframe your mind. And so it's really focused me to do this every morning again, which I teach in my life coaching course about, you know, what are the questions you ask yourself in the morning? How can I enjoy the day? How can I be a better husband, father, whatever it is that you're doing that day? How can I be more productive? How? And I've started asking, and I encourage everyone to do this experiment with me. Just this question, if nothing else, how can I get more done in less time and have fun? How can I get more done in less time and have fun? And your brain will find a way. If you let go of how it has to happen, your brain will go, who knows what it'll do? You know, it's beyond understanding, as some of the spiritual texts talk about. So I'd like to thank you. I just wanted to do a quick shout out, if you will, a podcast and a YouTube on the idea that it's so wonderful to use the technology that we have for ourselves and see the magic. Because again, going back to what I call the paradox of knowledge, the more knowledge you get, it can hold you back from being effective because you start pigeonholing people. You know, when I was at the FBI Academy for the crisis negotiation, hostage negotiation, one of the things they talked about is you had to let go of knowing so much. Because as police, everybody in the room was a police officer except for me and a couple other people. They're there to solve a problem. And they talk about how if you're a police officer, you're a medical doctor, especially the more experience you get, you start hearing something, you're able to, in our case, diagnose it and know what you're going to do next. Where in this example of crisis or hostage negotiation, your job is to just listen, just keep them talking. Not to jump ahead. And it's so hard to do. It's like when you're a parent, you know, especially by your second kid, they don't even get the sentence out. You're already yelling at them or doing what corrective procedures. And so it was so wonderful to go back to that kind of mind and get to experience it. And the other aspect of what I call the paradox of knowledge is that you have a better database to draw from, which is useful if you want to help people. But at the same time, on ourselves, because you have so much information in your mind, when someone tries to help you with an NLP, especially in our world of hypnosis, NLP, and you know EFT, and some of the other technologies like that, or even psychotherapy, when someone goes to help you, you automatically drop into, I like that. I got to remember that. I should write that down. I can use that for Joe or one of your clients. Or, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. You're not experiencing it. You're analyzing it. You know, and you're actually, in my opinion now, you're blocking it from settling into your subconscious mind because you're staying in the higher levels of thought. You know, current thing I'm teaching also is called a hierarchy of thought. You know, what level of thought that you're in, which ties into a naturalistic theory of hypnosis, which is something we're working on. And when you stay up there, you don't feel the visceral impact of what you're doing. As opposed to the first time someone did an NLP technique, you were going, wow. Or the first time you were hypnotized. Or the first time you had a psychotherapeutic intervention, and you went, whoa, and it shifted. But then again, I call it the paradox of knowledge. And so I encourage you to get back to beginner's mind. Maybe another question you ask yourself, how today can I have a beginner's mind? And I'll close this with, it kind of always comes back around. Everything in our lives is like the infinity sign. And as I was hearing the guy talk about the beginner's mind, and I'm running all this in my mind, I remember one of my most impactful martial arts teachers, Nishiyama. He was from Shotokan, the Shotokan organization. But he talked about, I can't do a Japanese accent, but he would talk about, you have to have a beginner's mind. You know, when you get your black belt, your goal is to wear it so much and tie it so often, you rub all the color off and you become a white belt again. That's when you're learning. And he kind of phrased it in as a beginner's mind. You got to come into everything as a beginner. Don't automatically assume you know, or that, oh, this is just like. Just have a beginner's mind. So again, I encourage you to ask a couple questions, including, you know, how can I, you know, have fun today? How can I, you know, have a beginner's mind today? How can I get more done in less time and have more fun today? So I'd like to hear some feedback. If you do this, just ask, kind of take a quick, you don't have to do a formal big meditation, just a few deep breaths. Think about that, let it go, and then start your day. Because your brain is that servo mechanism. It's always looking. Yeah, I could see that 2012 dark red Corvette with the tan leather interior. Yeah, I saw it way out of my peripheral vision, right? So it's kind of interesting. So let it work. So I look forward to sharing this information with you. Please get back in touch with me. Let me know how it's going. Follow me on the YouTube or sign up for the podcast. Please like and share this as much as possible. That's, you know, it's information anyone can use. So have a great day. And I look forward to helping you as we trudge the road to happy destiny.